Folks, welcome to GameSpot's Wrestling Podcast, Wrestle Buddies, filled with wrestling, friendship, and wrestling with friendship. I am your host, Matt Elfrick, and with me, as always, is the bestest wrestle buddy in my life, Chris Hainer. Chris, how are you?
Matt, it's Friday. They don't know this because you're hearing this on Thanksgiving, but it's Friday. I'm relaxed. I've had arguably too much coffee because I was up late working on The Mandalorian. I'm raring to go. This is gonna be a special one.
It's a special one.
Yes.
And Chris, why is it gonna be a special one?
Well, Matt, this week it's a very Wrestle Buddies Thanksgiving.
Oh, everyone's, sit at the table.
Everyone, at least in the United States of America, is celebrating Thanksgiving today. You know,
I'm kind of hoping they don't because there's a pandemic on the
loose. Well, no, they're celebrating it at home by themselves. They're watching a parade. They're
Oh, God, there's not going to be parades, are there?
Oh, my God. I didn't think about the fact that the parade's probably not going to happen. That makes me sad. Man. That's my tradition.
That's what I watch. It's that and football.
I don't care so much about the football.
Well, football's going to happen, but
unfortunately, maybe the stadiums will be empty. Who knows?
They are.
Okay, good. The World Series, they were not. This is a big sidetrack.
Sorry. I'll jump in really quick. Florida stadiums have people in them. Chicago, definitely no one.
Fantastic. Anyway, it is Thanksgiving. Matt and I are feeling especially thankful. Like, it's been a good year, so we've got...
Has it been a good year?
No, it's been a terrible year. Should I do that again?
No. I like that. Like, you're really trying to put a positive spin, and then I immediately remembered, oh, it's 2020.
This year has been an absolute trash can fire filled with gasoline. But
there's good things that happen.
Yeah, there's some good things that happen. There's some stuff for us to be thankful for. And one of the things you should be thankful for is this episode, because Matt, let me tell you what we got going on.
Oh, please tell me what we got going.
Later, we're going to dig into what me and you, the Wrestle Buddies, are thankful for in this professional wrestling landscape. As I said that, you sat up in your chair to show off an Elite shirt, which I find
I was trying to move my chair closer to the mic because I didn't like my sound level.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll tell you what. It looked like you were really, like, puffing out your chest to show off Cody living on your chest.
Check out this Bohemian Rhapsody-inspired shirt of the Elite.
Ugh, I kind of hate it, honestly.
It's from a Loot Crate.
Oh, okay. Then it's fine.
Yeah, I didn't buy this.
So we're going to... Well, I mean, you bought the Loot Crate, I'm assuming.
Well, yeah. I mean, it was for work, so I expensed it.
Oh, smart. We're going to give some thanks, talk about the wrestle things we're thankful for, not the real stuff we're thankful for, not like family and like health and all that.
What, do you want to hear me talk about my wife and kid? Boo.
Yeah, no, that's lame. Take that to your podcast family buddies. So I smell a spinoff. That's our next mini episode, family buddies.
And the theme song to that show is just the theme song to Family Ties.
What do we do, baby,
without love?
Sha-na-na-na. but before all that, we're going to talk about not even perhaps, most definitely the most iconic Thanksgiving piece of wrestling content that has ever existed, that will ever exist. This is bigger than gravy bowl matches between the Divas on SmackDown.
Gross.
This is better than the annual food fight that seems to happen on SmackDown.
Also gross.
Yeah. We're not going to do any of that. No, Matt. We're talking the Gobbledygooker.
Hey friends, so we mentioned that we recorded this before Survivor Series, and at Survivor Series 2020, which was November 22nd, the Gobbledygooker showed up on the kickoff show with R-Truth, the 24/7 champion. Now, who was in the Gobbledygooker suit, we don't know, but R-Truth lost the 24/7 championship to Akira Tozawa, and then Akira Tozawa lost the 24/7 championship to Gobbledygooker. Gobbledygooker became the 24/7 champion during Survivor Series, and then ran off screen with R-Truth, lost his foot, and then they didn't know they were off screen, and they were just kind of hanging out in the background. Later in the show, in the actual main card of Survivor Series, R-Truth got his 24/7 championship back, so it is nice to see that WWE is still paying tribute to the Gobbledygooker. Now, on to the actual segment where we explain what the hell the gobbledygooker is. Chris, as we know, I am trapped in 1995 with WWF programming, so I'm well aware that the gobbledygooker did happen at one point.
It's true.
Years prior.
Absolutely. 5 years prior, as a matter of fact. In fact, Survivor Series this year is sort of the final farewell of The Undertaker. It's the celebration of 30 years of The Undertaker's career. What's being lost? What is being lost in all this? And it's also 30 years of the gobbledygooker. Because way, way, way back in 1990, there was this sort of promotional thing going on in WWE where at events, like at the TV events, there was just this giant egg. And the whole thing was like, it's going to hatch on Thanksgiving at the Survivor Series pay-per-view.
You know what I like? Hold on. Uh-huh. Stop the train.
Uh-huh.
I like that it's an egg and they know when it's going to hatch.
Yeah. Like, who knows? Well, the egg was on a pedestal that said Survivor Series on it. It had question marks all over it. It's bad. So WWE super hyped this thing up for like a long time. It's one of the more hyped things. Like, this went on for months. For months they talked about this stupid egg. And it's funny, given that like this is the pay-per-view that The Undertaker debuted at, because at one point Undertaker has told the story where he thought they were going to ask him to be the Eggman and he was going to be inside the egg. And like, that would not have been good.
It would have been great.
It would have been amazing. thankfully, but unfortunately, I guess, that is not what was inside the egg. Instead, when the egg finally hatched, let me set the stage for you.
Mm-hmm.
It's Survivor Series 1990. There's the giant egg on the Survivor Series pedestal. Mean Gene Okerlund is standing next to this egg. I want to say this. The egg looks incredibly cheap. It's already cracked. It just needs to be like gently pushed apart. And Mean Gene is standing next to it, and he's like, I think it's happening. I think it's happening. And then the egg starts to crack, and Mean Gene yells, "Stand back! Stand back!" And I'm assuming
there's a hurricane on the loose.
Well, that's not how the saying goes at all. That's "stand back." There's a hurricane coming through.
Well, it's also on the loose.
Hurricanes don't really get on the loose. They're not criminals fleeing from the law.
I think they kind of do get on the loose.
But I immediately took that as a nod to Vince McMahon's stand back.
Yeah.
And then what comes out of the egg is a member of the famous, the iconic Guerrero wrestling family in a really stupid, cheap turkey costume. It is Hector Guerrero. He pops out. We don't know it's Hector Guerrero because all we see is a giant turkey. Mm-hmm. Mean Gene starts asking him questions, and the turkey just leans in the mic and goes, "Gobble gobble 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 gobble." That's it. That's the entire
This is such
gimmick.
A good bit. It's really, really funny, Chris. It makes sense. It fits in the world of wrestling.
You know how you know it's good though?
Because it keeps coming back
because the crowd immediately started booing. It's
this
Survivor
is 1990.
Series. It's 1990. This is before the era of like the cynical like fan of wrestling, I feel.
I would say this is the start of the era of the cynical fan.
This is what kicked it all off. It's so bizarre. You can like as it's happening, you hear the fans booing while Mean Gene is talking up how great it is. It's not. They turn on it immediately because hyping it for months, like WWF at the time wanted you to believe that this was going to be something major. Instead, it was just it was like they spent months on a joke segment that reportedly, according to Pat Patterson, was Vince McMahon's idea. Vince was like, what if we hatch a turkey? They hatched a full-grown turkey. It wasn't even a baby turkey. So, like, I find that to be weird.
That's some good stuff.
Thank you for censoring yourself.
You're welcome.
I appreciate it. So, what we have the gooker. Matt, what are we to do now? He can't wrestle. He's a turkey.
Turkeys well, it's obviously wrestle. Going to disappear for 20 years.
No.
Well, sorry, 11
no.
years.
No, first, Matt, the turkey's got to dance. So the turkey God. And Mean Gene Okerlund go to the ring and dance to this weird 80s synth version of Turkey in the Straw. Which Ugh. Is so...
Stand back! Like that for...
It's so weird, and the crowd hates it, except the camera seems to fight a bunch of dads that are kind of into it, including one who's pumping his fist to the song while he has a Hulk Hogan foam finger on. So it's a dad just pumping his Hulk Hogan foam finger to Turkey in the Straw like a freaking lunatic.
It's so it's magical. Me after a few beers, and it's the one night I have away from my kid in like 6 years.
Their kids are there. Thanksgiving is a time for family, Matt. This is before the pandemic when you could actually see people. So like their kids are there, but I think you got the beers part right on the money. I think by this point in the show, the dads have all knocked a few back. And they're like, this is like my kid is into wrestling, so I brought him to see the matches, but like I'm into this weird avant-garde nonsense that's happening on Survivor Series.
Because man, Turkey in the Straw was my wedding song. I love this.
But like, yeah, I there was a lot clapping. There was a bunch of them clapping and whatnot, but I was transfixed by the Hulk Hogan foam finger guy who's just pumping his fist, having the time of his life. The Gooker makes Gene Okerlund do a really bad cartwheel, but like seeing Gene Okerlund get his feet off the ground for any kind of cartwheel is very impressive. I was like, you know what? You'll love to see it.
Because he's no spring chicken at this time. He's an older gent in 1990.
He's a spring chicken. He's an older turkey. Come on. Come on.
Play Turkey in the Straw again, and I love it.
After that, the segment just ended. Because there was no match, there was no nothing for it. Like they didn't send out a debuting Undertaker to beat him up, like nothing. It was just like the Gooker's here. Okay, let's move on with the show.
How weird. Like writers' room wise, and I know writers' room in this scenario is just Vince. But how
a couple
weird
buddies,
it?
And I can only assume so much. Coke.
But they spent so much time hyping this up, and the end game was. All right, here's what we're going to do. He's going to giant turkey comes out of an egg, dances with Mean Gene Okerlund. We never see it again.
That's not true.
I mean, but that's the plan.
No, because the Gooker was evidently, supposedly, reportedly supposed to appear more times and actually did appear in a couple of taped promos after the fact.
Oh, see, I don't remember that, so...
That's... I mean, you're better off for it. But then, yes, the Gooker did disappear for 11 years until WrestleMania X7, which we talked about last week. It was the WrestleMania that had that Rock Austin match with the promo that I love so much.
Yes. And this actually has the Battle Royal I love.
Yes. And it also... Yeah, the gimmick Battle Royal, in which the Gooker took part. It was a different costume, and he was credited on screen as the Gobbly Gooker instead of the Gobbledygooker. They misspelled his name. I don't know how that could possibly happen.
Maybe it's the child of the Gobbledygooker.
I don't think so. They definitely reference it as being the same character, but who knows? The purpose of the gimmick Battle Royale was like they brought back a bunch of like late 80s, early 90s, very over the top characters and just made them fight each other to very ridiculous means. I have the list of wrestlers that were in the gimmick Battle Royal. Matt, would you
which
like to hear
isn't
them?
As exciting when you see the list, like remembering it, I'm like, yeah, it was great. And then I look at the list, I'm like, oh, it wasn't as great as I remember.
I'm kind of into it. We got Brother Love, the Bushwhackers, the Iron Sheik, Jim Cornette, not a wrestler, Doink, Duke the Dumpster Drozzy, Earthquake, big ups to John Tenta, the Gobbledygooker, the Goon, Freebird, Michael P.S. Hayes, Hillbilly Jim, Kamala, Kim Chi, One Man Gang, The Repo Man, Sergeant Slaughter, Tugboat, and Nikolai Volkov. My first question is, if you're going to have Tugboat there, why not do him as Typhoon and then have a Natural Disasters reunion? That seems easy. That's easy.
People would be much more excited about a Natural Disasters reunion than they would Tugboat. 100%. But I mean, if you're really going to go all out, why not just bring in Shockmaster?
Oh my God. Or Super Shockmaster.
Super Shockmaster.
Yes. Iron Sheik ultimately won the match. Well, no, we all ultimately won the match. Like yeah. us, the home viewer, we're the true winners watching these ridiculous people do their thing. And then the Gobbledygooker wasn't seen again until.
Or was he?
Until Thanksgiving 2015.
What?
SmackDown. The Gobbledygooker was the mascot for the New Day.
That's fitting.
Yes, it was supposed to be Xavier Woods under the mask. However, it was revealed that it was actually Jey Uso under the mask because this was during that era when the New Day and the Usos never stopped fighting each other.
But also, I was fine with that.
Absolutely, 100%. Remember their Hell in a Cell match?
It's the best.
Their Hell in a Cell match was perfection. So yeah, that was all, like it was then. It was all the way in 2015. But Matt, that wasn't the last time we saw the Gobbledygooker.
Chris,
mm-hmm.
Okay.
The last time we saw the Gobbledygooker, November 21st, 2017, the Thanksgiving episode of 205 Live.
Ah, yes, that show that exists.
Yes. Drew Gulak appeared as the Gobbledygooker in the costume, and he dubbed himself the Gobbledygulaker. What's up? That's beautiful.
Wonderful.
That is this during art.
Was this during his PowerPoint phase, which is kind of one of my favorite things
I'm
in the world?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to the PowerPoint, and that would never happen. Yeah.
I love Drew Gulak. I think he's immensely entertaining, and I like, oh, man, I would love to see him featured more. But, yeah, that like, it's – this. And listen, we will see this character again. Of course we will. Hey, Mattel, if you're smart and you're listening to this podcast – release a Gobbledygooker figure.
Yeah,
like,
come on.
Give me a Gooker Elite. Like, release it at a con or something, but then send me one because I want it. Like,
yeah,
I, that
and
would be
send
great.
It.
Yeah, send it to me.
And me.
Also to Matt.
And I want more Papa Shango's. Send me the five faces of Charles Wright.
Also,
I want my Papa Shango, comma the Fighting Machine, comma Mustafa, the good, or sorry, Godfather, and the good father.
Yeah, also, send me the two faces of Gangrel. Gangrel and
Black
Phantom,
Phantom,
or whatever it was called. And, oh no, the three faces of Gangrel, and then, like, the current Gangrel, who, like, rides motorcycles and wrestles in Florida. I want all three of them. Fangin' and Bangin' Gangrel. Like the Fangin'
and Bangin'. The toy's called hashtag Fangin' and Bangin'.
Yeah, I want the Fangin' and Bangin' playset, which is a motorcycle, a Gangrel toy. An empty parking lot that has a sign on it that says Florida. Like, that's what I want. But yeah, no, the Gobbledygooker is, for my money, a Thanksgiving tradition that WWE should bring back every year, because why wouldn't you? You have a turkey costume. Do something with it.
It's just such a weird thing for wrestling.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it also the Gobbledygooker is not a wrestler. Like, the Gobbledygooker does not have a finishing move. And for those of you who play WWE Supercard, Matt, I know we both do. Last year at Thanksgiving, they had a specialty. Oh, my God. I hope they do it again this year. They had a specialty
Chris,
Gobbledygooker
I played
card.
Supercard this morning. Gobbledygooker is a SummerSlam 2020 card.
What?
Yeah, there's a new fusion.
Oh.
If you listen to GameSpot After Dark, you know we talked about mobile gaming. Chris and I play WWE Supercard religiously.
Okay, so I got to get that new Gooker card. I got to have it. I had the last one, and I pro'd it, no less. So, like, yeah, I'm very excited about that. So, yeah, that's the Gobbledygooker. You're welcome.
Chris, that brings us to the second segment of this week. And it is, for you listening, most likely right now, Thanksgiving, a time where we all get together and eat way too much food and watch football, if you're me. Because Chris loves football.
I like football.
You don't get excited like I do.
I'm especially not excited about this season. I think sports should be canceled, but that's just me.
So do I, but it's what we have, so whatever. I thought, and Chris thought as well, we both thought exactly at the same time. Let's talk about within wrestling, What are we thankful for in 2020, a year that can only be described as a rotting bag of fruit inside of a poopy diaper in a flaming trash bag of hope?
Tell us how you really feel, Matt.
This year sucks. There's been some good things this year. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you got to find the silver lining in the cloud or whatever that phrase is. Mm-hmm. Chris, what is one thing you, Chris Hayner, are thankful for in 2020?
This is going to sound very lame. I am most thankful for us. Like, we launched a podcast this year. We launched the greatest pro wrestling podcast to ever exist this year.
I don't like end-all be-all statements like that.
Well, I do, and I just made that end-all be-all statement, so it is true. This is episode 30. Matt and I wanted to do a podcast for so long, and then when we had decided that we wanted to pitch a podcast when we were all in San Francisco in February for the GameSpot All Hands meeting, and we did. We tried to in a super noisy coffee shop.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We left that coffee shop.
And I went like super weird, not weird. I feel like I went super smart about it where I had printed out pitches and we had, I think, four ideas, maybe five, that we would host together. Mm-hmm. But the wrestling one was the only one that was like really, really, really written out well with a ton of detail. All the other podcast ideas, which I still think are pretty decent. But I mean, like Wrestle Buddies was the only one that was like super duper filled out. And like we had a ton of different mini segment ideas, like some of them that we'll probably never do. I think one of them was like my dad asks wrestlers five questions and he doesn't watch wrestling. Yeah. I like that idea. We'll never do it.
We could still do it. Why not us? Honestly, doing this podcast and coming up with like dumb ideas that become segments, which you'll hear one of those soon, has become like my favorite thing about this job. Like every week we get to set aside an hour and change to like sit down and talk about stupid wrestling stuff.
And it's also what I like that we've been doing, and this is kind of just like pets on the back, but whatever, that the show is different enough from everything else out there. And that, I guess most importantly, I get to like be like weird on the show, like yes, comedy weird.
Oh, I meant regular weird.
I'm regular weird kind of, but I mean, I get to be comedy weird on here and we get to do dumb things like typical wrestling podcast mini segments or talk about Gangrel all the time.
I mean, I only want to talk about Gangrel, so like...
Yeah. And our show gets hacked on occasion by a hacker. I mean, like, it's artistically fulfilling, creatively fulfilling.
Yeah.
It's just and I'm not saying my job's not. My job is creatively fulfilling. But I mean, like, this is, like, where I'm allowed to get as weird as I want.
Right.
And no one tells... Well, I occasionally get told no. But for the most part, no one says no.
Sometimes I have to tell you no, Matt.
Other people have told me no above us, too.
Oh. Do I know about this?
Oh, no. It's just mostly about, like, time length-wise. Because I wanted to do running bits about the time the show would run. And we were told to cut back on time.
Yeah, it's too long. Our episodes were way too long at first.
But way too long.
But let's talk about some wrestling things we're thankful for that are not us. Because, man, how egotistical are we?
Pretty. Chris, I want to say that I'm thankful for the WWE Network. This is not a sponsored plug. Not sponsored at all. I pay my $10 a month. I'm sorry, $9.99 a month.
No, thank you. That penny adds up.
Aside from being able to live stream pay-per-views, which I enjoy watching, right now, as you all know, I'm watching 1995 Raw episodes, and it's been like there's been moments where I've told Chris I've wanted to stop doing it because I hate it. But overall, like, I'm really glad that I get to, you know, just watch old wrestling that I grew up with. Like, I was like 13 at the time. I'm kind of reliving my early teen years, which has been very bizarre. So I'm thankful for the WWE Network. What?
Matt, on the same sort of wavelength, I'm very thankful for Up Up Down Down and the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast video channel. Those are two. They're wrestling, obviously, but they're kind of wrestling adjacent. Yeah. Projects that like have kept me wildly, wildly entertained for a long time now. Like I've gone through most of the I loved Up Up Down Down before, but like I've gone back and rewatched a lot of the older videos recently, mm-hmm. and now I'm on to all of the vlogs for the Major Wrestling Pod where they're like searching out toys in old stores and whatnot. I find them super, super fun. And if you're not watching DeParty on Up Up Down Down, like, fix your life. Watching Breeze, Tyler Breeze, Xavier Woods, Adam Cole, and Cesaro play Uno is one of the most fun things.
Ended up buying Uno after watching that a bunch. And I
did you?
Yeah, because I do love playing Uno.
I love Uno, but I didn't buy it because I don't know anybody who has it.
I just play computer. But more importantly, I ended up getting Fall Guys because I just got a PlayStation 5. Mm. I haven't had a PlayStation in a long time. I think PlayStation 3 is last time, maybe. So I ended up like, I bought Fall Guys the second I got my PlayStation 5, and I love that game. But like watching them play it was so much fun.
I have a PlayStation 4, and I should get Fall Guys, honestly. I haven't yet, but like, yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. They've been playing Among Us with various people, and like, I find that to be really interesting.
Yeah, I've been playing that on my phone a little bit.
I am dying to see DeParty like get into a game like Phasmophobia. I don't know if you know Phasmophobia, Matt. It's essentially like you're a part of Ghost Hunters.
Oh yeah, I was trying to watch somebody else play that, but the person playing it on the stream was talking about how they are a ghost hunter, and I was just like, nope, I'm done. No, I don't want to hear about how you think ghosts are real and stuff. Just play the game, please.
What else are you thankful for this year?
Chris, I'm thankful for something I did not like at first that I ended up falling in love with and want to see continue for as long as possible. And that's mm-hmm. the Thunderdome! And a sea of people made up of just screens of sitting at home watching. It, just the concept alone is so perfect for just the world we're living in right now. And I'm still surprised WWE is not charging people to be on it mm-hmm. because
it's gotten so like it started out a little rocky, but like as they've really gotten into it, I feel like the entire concept has gotten so much better.
It's so much fun.
And yeah, it's a lot of fun. It brings back a lot of the elements that we're missing from Raw and SmackDown at the PC for so long.
Yeah.
I'm really intrigued by the fact that they are soon to be moving Thunderdome to Tropicana Field in Tampa. They're going to build this thing inside of a baseball stadium.
I'm so pumped about that. I believe it's because the Amway Center they need for basketballs.
Yeah. Yes, basketball and some
other Orlando sport. Magic, I believe, has to start practice for the next NBA season.
You know, the NBA, that thing that literally just ended.
Yeah. But it is great that there are so many different sports not happening at the same time that they can move the Thunderdome uh-huh. somewhere else. Because
yep.
I don't want to go back to wrestling with no audience, no fake crowd noise again. Thunderdome audience is an audience to me. And it's just a lot of fun to see people enjoying the product. Chris, I'd like to take us down a road for thankfulness about, I want to talk about being the elite.
The elite?
The elite. Mm. Which for a long time I thought was be elite, be elite.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I did. Up until All In, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I've been very much enjoying BTE. As you know, we talk about it a lot.
Absolutely. It's great.
I mainly have been enjoying Dark Order and everything mm-hmm. they've been doing, which has been very fun. But most importantly, John Silver. Dark
Our
Order
favorite
member.
Wrestler.
Right now, he's kind of my favorite.
Yeah.
He is charismatic. He has fun. He's got a great beard and great little muscles, but they're big muscles. I said little because little he's kind of short, but he's
little
not.
Little baby muscle boy.
He's a shorter gentleman who's a larger man. Muscular.
He's great. You're right. He's fantastic. He is worth being thankful for. John Silver is not only, I would say, the most entertaining member of the Dark Order for my money, he's one of the most entertaining people flat out in AEW.
Yeah.
Full stop. He's great.
I'm trying to think of someone that I'm enjoying more in AEW on Being the Elite, and I can't.
Former guest Darby Allin?
He's not on Being the Elite ever.
Oh, I thought you meant in AEW. He's not on Being the Elite ever. What's that all about? No,
Sonny Kiss is rarely on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of like people that I never see. I mean, Jericho's not going to be on it really ever.
It doesn't matter. It's John Silver. John Silver is king.
Yes.
Eventually we got to have him on the podcast just so we can tell him how amazing he is.
Yeah. I mean, he's going places, that kid. Not really a kid. I think he's like in his 30s, but he's a kid.
He's a grown man.
Grown man kid.
He's a grown man. That was my Jesse Ventura.
Secret bunkers.
Grown man.
He's a grown man, but he's also got the most muscles.
Matt, the last thing I'm going to give thanks for are the people who have been nice enough to leave us reviews on the Apple Podcast app, like we beg you to every single week. Please rate us and review us. Hit us with that 5-star review. And we might just end up reading it on the show. Matt, I actually have 2 that I'm going to read. I'm not going to read one because it's clearly from your friend who's just talking about how great you are.
Oh, well, I'll read that one.
I don't care so much about that. The first one comes from The First Meg. It's the most fun wrestling show, she says. 5 stars. This is such a creative and unique show, even for people like me who aren't hardcore wrestling fans. Chris and Matt aren't just recapping matches or talking inside baseball. They set things up so everyone can be included and find things that I had no idea were actually a thing. So I leave every episode not only feeling entertained, but informed. I am so stoked to be a Wrestle Buddy. And Matt, I'm just going to say it. Meg gets it.
She understands.
This is the point.
Yeah.
Wrestling is for everyone. You just have to find the thing that is accessible for everyone.
We should have her in our studio audience.
Matt, don't break the fourth wall. The next comes from Jimmy James 66, a must for wrestling fan. 5 stars. Take that, you 1-star jerks. Excellent podcast for any wrestling fan. The interviews and segments are awesome, but my favorite part is the banter between the two hosts.
That's us.
Really enjoying the show. Matt, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if you know this, Matt. We're the two hosts.
We are. Thanks for that, Jimmy Flan.
Yeah, thanks, Jimmy. But I don't know who you are.
He's a Chicago comedian who actually does listen to the show.
Oh, very
good.
He's
a really, really cool guy.
That's cool.
Chris,
thank you, Jimmy.
I got one more review right over here.
I don't think you do, Matt. I do not think you do.
It says, I just want to be a wrestling buddy. So far, he doesn't know the name of the show. this is a fun, entertaining show, despite the fact that one of the co-hosts is very mean to me personally and won't call me his wrestling buddy. I don't think he understands how hurtful this is, especially because I text him Ziggy comics, and who doesn't love these? I mean, Ziggy is so wholesome and delightful.
What's the name of that person, Matt?
It's Matt Drufke, my friend.
That's not
former...
what the app says, Matt.
What?
That is not what the app says, Matt.
Oh, it's Pooperson.
Yep. We're doing great.
Way to go, Druffles.
We're doing great. Honestly, we, the Wrestle Buddies Nation, we are small, but we are mighty. Thank you to you, anyone who listens to me and Matt being complete nerds every single week talking about the dumbest stuff in wrestling.
We're mainly thankful for you.
Yeah, we enjoy doing it, and so far, it seems like you enjoy listening to it, so we're going to keep doing it as long as we can, but... rate us and review us in the Apple Podcast app, really.
And if you keep rating and reviewing us, you know, we probably won't get hacked anymore.
Oh, then don't do it. I want us to get hacked.
Oh, no, okay. We will get hacked more if you leave reviews. Yes. There will be so many more hackings from...
I guess it's time for me to leave a review.
Potential retribution members will be hacking us.
Oh, snap. Matt, anyway, that brings us to, I believe, our final segment of this, our Thanksgiving special.
This is the most segments of an episode.
I mean, 3.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, what's new in your neck of the woods?
That's a weird way to intro this, Matt.
Chris, I was sitting out back on the stoop I was thinking about the days I used to go to KB Toys and pick up wrestling action figures. It was a good feeling, right?
Okay, Matt, I understand what you're trying to do. Let me get to the gist of what this segment is. As mentioned in the Giving Thanks segment, I've been watching a lot of the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast YouTube channel and listening to that show, and they seem to really enjoy opening old toys. It brings them a weird rush of adrenaline and happiness that, like, I haven't felt in years. So I thought to myself, Matt, why don't I buy one of these toys? And then I open it on the show, and then we see just how it feels to be happy.
You know what? I love this idea because in 2020, we're trying to find little things that can make us happier. Little things that can bring us joy. And there is nothing better than seeing what other people are doing that bring them joy and trying it out for yourself.
Yeah. So with that in mind, I jumped on eBay.
I just want to disclose something. When I was learning that you were jumping on eBay doing this, I immediately started going on eBay and bidding on things.
Yep. So I jumped on eBay to get an idea of what the market looked like. And what I learned is I understand why two highly paid professional wrestlers do this podcast. These things are expensive.
Mm-hmm.
It is very expensive. But, man, I found one. I purchased. I'm going to hold it up to the camera. You've seen this, but I won't hold it up anyway.
I know. Just keep holding it up because I like it.
It is a Series 4 bone crunching action Jack's Pacific WWF Bad Boys. This isn't where the big boys eat, Matt. This is where the bad boys are action figures.
Chris, the thing is that I've seen the card for this. I've seen the toy. And a part of me is like, I don't want you to open it. Because
I know. It's the most 1993 thing I've ever seen in my life. Card.
The old school WWF logo and then in the kind of a graffiti is written like Bad Boys. Like, that's so funny.
Here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna take a picture of the figure with the card.
Yeah.
To put on Twitter for the before. Click. Because it is something to behold. I want to note what the one I got. This is everyone who's in the line. Farouk, mm-hmm. Jerry the King Lawler with crown, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Who, Matt? We've had this discussion. Every old Stone Cold action figure is the most generic thing that's ever existed.
He's essentially default superstar and creator wrestler.
100%. He's Goldberg. He's every bald wrestler with black trunks.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter Hearst Helmsley. This is pre-Triple H. Because, Matt, this figure came out in 1997.
Oh, boy.
It does not look like something from 1997.
No, it looks like 86.
Uh-huh. And then Justin Hawk Bradshaw, which is the coolest one in the lineup. He's got leather chaps over his short trunks. He's got a leather vest, and he comes with an add-on cowboy hat and a bull whip or like cow rope or whatever with a bell on the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's the one I got, Matt. Series 4. I got, it's time. Mm-hmm. It's time.
Mm-hmm.
It's Vader action figure time. I got Vader, bro.
And he looks frightened on his face, which I love.
He does. It looks like Vader just saw the video from The Ring and was told that he's going to die in 7 days.
What?
That's what it looks like to me. I'm going to open this. It's going to be super ASMR-y because I've heard that's very popular on the internet.
Oh, I'll shut up then.
If I've learned here, we'll get there. I'm going to open this up. Are you ready, Matt?
All right. Chris is going to open up.
I'm going to power bomb this action figure. Ooh. That's me throwing the card. Oh, I'm taking it out. First of all, you got this beautiful WWF shiny stand for the figure.
If you want to stand your figure, you can put it on there.
So this is something I learned from...
No, Chris, ASMR.
Well, I understand, but I learned from Matt Cardona that you're supposed to smell them before you touch them.
Chris is about to smell the figure. He's choking.
It does not smell good. It's also weirdly dusty, I think.
Wait, it's dusty within the card?
It's super dusty. Look.
No way.
Super Dusty.
Guys, like, we got a
ghost. American Dream. This is the American Dream Dusty Rhodes of action figures.
It's a very dusty figure, Chris.
It's out of the plastic. It's out of the plastic. It's actually like its arms are a little bit loose. His head is stuck on, but it doesn't turn whatsoever. But listen, here we got some. You ready? You want to hear some bone crunching set action? I don't know if you can hear that.
I can hear it.
I gotta be honest, Matt. This is cool. I don't know. Like, full disclosure, I spent $13 plus shipping on this action figure. Oof. I did not. I've looked at a lot of them online, and like, it's like, get like this Undertaker that glows in the dark and costs $200. I'm like, no, thank you. But no, this is actually kind of dope. The legs are like the legs and the arms are and the head are like a rubbery, and then the body is soft plastic. As far as articulation goes, Matt, we have a couple of the Mattel Elites that they've done at Comic-Con the past few years.
Yeah,
those are filled with articulation. It's crazy. This, it just spins at the waist.
Is it three points?
I could do this. Like, now he's backwards Vader Man.
Oh, so he has 3 points of articulation.
Yeah.
Wow.
His arms, his legs, and his waist.
Oh, so five.
His
head doesn't move. I didn't see the legs.
Oh, yeah. The legs.
Okay, so he's got 5 points of
articulation. They move at the hip. They do not move at the knee, because that's... That's where the bone crunching action is.
The crunching of bones, a thing you constantly hear in wrestling.
Yeah. Listen, if I had a dollar for every time someone broke a leg in pro wrestling, I would have at least a couple of dollars.
You know what I want to get that I never got? Actually, I'm going to go on eBay. I want one of those like Pecori Sweat like WWF figures. What are they called?
The Maximum Sweat figures?
Yeah, I call them Pecori Sweat, which I think is like a Japanese drink.
Yeah, it sure is. No, yeah, the Maximum Sweat figures where you fill them up with water and then they sweat while you play with them. It's disgusting.
I kind of want a couple of those.
I've actually looked at a couple of those as part of my new fascination, because I'll tell you what, while this is a new thing of mine, I have bid on a second figure. It's the ugliest, stupidest Brian Pillman action figure you'll ever see in your life, from the Stomp collection, which is when they essentially, I guess, put like flak jackets and guns on them. It's very strange.
Every character's Punisher.
Pretty much. That is pretty much. Ooh, I just put Vader on his WWF stand, and it is very, very cool. You know what I'll do? Time for the follow-up photo. So yeah, you'll see those on the Twitter account. Man, opening action figures. Oh, more plastic. Get out of here. More opening up action figures is fun. I understand why they do that on their podcast.
I didn't have anything to open. I mean, I opened a copy of Coming to America on 4K that was sent to me during a break.
Not as wrestling centric, but equally entertaining.
I love Coming to America is one of my favorite movies. So
yeah. That is our mini segment of me essentially stealing a bit from another podcast. We all win.
We all win. Chris,
but especially me, because I got a cool toy.
Chris, very quickly, because this is starting to run a little long, let's open up that mailbag.
Oh, we got a good one this week. This week's question comes from Aaron Turner, who is the co-host of the Strong Style Live show on YouTube. I've hung out with Aaron. We toured the Performance Center together in Orlando, Florida, pre-pandemic, not during the pandemic. That would be crazy. And he is a very good dude who had a very good question. Is it time to give up on the women's tag team titles? They're rarely defended or in storylines. Matt, let's start with you. What do you think about the women's tag titles?
The short answer, yeah. I mean... Here's the thing about, let's talk about WWE as a whole right now. They do not care, or there's not as much emphasis. I shouldn't say they don't care. There's not much emphasis on tag team wrestling. There has never really has been. Even when you have great tag teams like the Usos or the New Day, they're really never developing tag team wrestling. So while I love the idea of women having tag team titles, there's no point, especially when you break up the best tag team of the Iconics and you, there's just not a lot going on with the women's tag team in general. Yeah, there's no real reason to have women's tag team titles right now when the tag team division in general doesn't have a great push behind it. There's no real women's tag teams. WWE has made great strides with women's singles wrestling and creating a division that is, for my money, I'd say the best or second best women's division in all of wrestling. I always put Impact up there, actually, because I actually enjoy Impact's women wrestling more than the men's right now. There's just, yeah, there's no real reason to have tag titles for women. There's no room to put it for all that.
Right. Clearly, these titles were created because WWE has a large women's roster and only the two women's titles, and they wanted to have something for the rest of the women to do. The problem is they're not like they were highlighted well enough at first, but they just haven't been ever since. And WWE has gone and broken up the majority of the tag teams. The Iconics aren't together anymore.
Oh, Fire and Ice.
No Fire and Ice. They broke up the Iconics and then started teaming Peyton with what's her name? Lacey Evans.
Which is super weird and doesn't make sense to me.
I don't like it at all.
But like also Nikki and Alexa, they were a good tag team.
Nikki and Alexa, Bayley and Sasha, like all these teams are broken up so quickly that like what is it? Now the women's tag team champions are Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler. A team that don't really like each other and don't have anything in common and don't really work as a team. What's the point of this?
And also Shayna should be on a singles run. I mean,
absolutely.
She should be main eventing right now.
She should be champion on a show.
I say once we get past the whole Sasha Bailey thing, it should be Shayna.
Yeah.
But we have to get past Survivor Series for that.
Yeah. So yeah, it's very strange, but also I'm not a fan.
There's just
Thanksgiving on a down note.
Well, no, I really think it just comes down to the fact that like within WWE's programming, within Raw and SmackDown, I guess you can include NXT in this. There is we're including NXT 7 hours of programming a week. And you have to remember that the majority of this is filled with single stars. And then men's tag takes priority after that. And then you have women's tag is kind of the bottom thing there. And there's no room for it, and I hate saying that.
Yeah, and if you're gonna do women's tag titles, just make them mean something. It's that easy. It's really that easy. And thus far, they're not. Hopefully, they will at some point. But if not, maybe we just don't need those tag titles at this point.
The 24/7 title at this point is more prestigious than the women's tag titles because of how it's treated in storylines. That's crazy.
That's so weird. I hadn't thought about that, but you're absolutely right. The women's tag titles have become just a prop that are just there and don't really have much meaning, which is unfortunate because they did at one point to varying degrees and they could again, but we'll see.
Time will tell. And on that somber note, it is time for us to head out. Chris, do you have any final words of wisdom for us this week?
Yes, Matt. Everyone, tomorrow, the day after Thanksgiving, what I want you to do is to go into the kitchen, get out a couple dinner rolls, cut them open, put in some turkey, some stuffing, a little cranberry sauce, make yourself a delightful turkey Thanksgiving sandwich, and enjoy. Thanks for listening to Wrestle Buddies. We hope you had at least almost as much fun as we did. Go ahead and rate and review us on the Apple Podcast app. You can email us questions at WrestleBuddies@GameSpot.com or find us over on Twitter at WrestleBuddies. I am at Chris Hayner. He is at I'm Matt Elfring. See you next week.